Hey guys, I want to welcome you to the Mosaic Podcast. I'm Pastor Erwin Raphael McManus, and just wanted to thank you for listening. In case you didn't know, I just released a new book. It's called The Genius of Jesus, The Man Who Changed Everything. And you can order it today at thegeniusofjesus.com.
And we began with this quest for honor. I hope whenever you see these symbols that you'll remember that you are on a great quest for honor. That inside of all of us, there is a hero waiting to be awakened. Our most heroic life awaits us, but there are choices we have to make, decisions we have to make, steps we have to take for that life to become a reality. And if you've been here throughout the time, you'll remember that our outcome is to live a life of courage, to have the courage to live the life that we were created to live. And if you've ever been in that tension where your dreams are greater than your courage, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. How you can actually see a life that you could have, but never choose to have, because you are trapped by fear. And in this particular journey, we've seen how courage is developed in the context of integrity. And we all understand that the world works better when we have integrity. But usually integrity is something that we want as a byproduct of our character. But courage is what we need to live out our greatest dreams and ambitions. And so we choose integrity most of the time because we've seen the consequence of its absence. But what we did also see is that integrity develops out of the context of humility. Humility isn't as exciting a virtue as courage. We usually don't wake up in the morning saying, I really want to be more humble. I need more humility to make it through the day. But we do wake up saying, I need more courage. I need more courage to make it through the day. And we might find ourselves sometimes confronted with the reality of our need for integrity, but it's not usually our greatest ambition. It's unfortunate to say. And so it's easy to convince you to pursue humility if you know that the end game of that humility is courage. And if you accept that the crucible through which humility produces courage is integrity, you're willing to go through that process. But if you're like me, a lot of times there are certain virtues that are like vegetables and other ones that are like dessert. Courage is the dessert, but humility is the vegetable. And so we think, okay, I can be humble long enough to develop integrity, long enough so that I can have courage. I know God wants me to have integrity, but it's sort of an irritant. It gets in the way of real success. And I know that I'm supposed to want humility, but what I really want is courage, so I'll accept humility. How long do I have to stay in this phase? And so we tend to think in terms of phases. So phase one, be humble. All right, God, I can do that for several days. I can take on humility. Phase two, have integrity. Okay. It'll probably make my life a little better. I want other people to have integrity, so I'll do the best I can to look like I have integrity. Because what I really need is this phase three. I need courage. Well, here's the bad news. This is not a process that has a domino effect. This is not a process where there are phases that you get to graduate from. Finally, I've had enough humility where I can just pursue integrity. Finally, I've had enough integrity where I can choose courage. No, it works like a funnel. It works more like this. You choose a life of humility. And the longer you live a life of humility, the more integrity you have. And the more integrity you have, the more courage you will develop. And you never graduate from the humility phase. We're called to a life of humility. We never graduate from the integrity phase. We're called to continuously deepen our integrity. And the more humility you choose, the more integrity you choose, the more courage you will have. There may not be a particular topic that resonates with my own journey more than this one. Maybe you're like me. I have known fear throughout my life. Fear and I seem to have been born on the same day. We were good friends. But fear is a cruel mistress and an even crueler master. I spent so much of my life watching other people live the life I wanted, watching so many other people make the choices I knew I should have made, but I didn't make them. I spent so much of my life observing other people courageously live a life while I at best lived vicariously through them. And it played itself out in so many ways, in so many arenas, whether it was in the arena of relationships, the fear to put myself out there, the fear to love, the fear to trust, the fear to be rejected and to be wounded and to be alone. The fear of pursuing dreams and ambitions and longings and desires, this overwhelming fear that there would be no talent or ability or intelligence or capacity to live out those dreams. Is there anything more haunting than to have someone you love but you do not have the courage to open your heart to them? Or to have a dream that consumes you, but not have the courage to pursue it. I have a strange suspicion that even today there are those of us in this room who are paralyzed and captive to fear. Who have a desperate need to know courage in your life. There's a passage, a very interesting ring. It would have helped me better to have like the theme of The Last Samurai playing, but you get what you get. Have you ever noticed how much the language of courage exists in the scriptures? You would think that the individuals in the scriptures were people that were already inherently courageous, that God would choose men and women who carried this natural attribute of courage. And when we think back about these people, they seem to be the most courageous people imaginable. But what you find in the scriptures is that there's this ongoing narrative about the need for courage because the people that God chose were just like you and me, people bound by fear, trapped by their fears and their own self-doubt. When I was studying theology, I did a 99-page word study on one Hebrew word that is translated courage. Because I knew in my life this was the defining factor of whether I would always dream of a great life or live out the life of my dreams. Joshua chapter 1. We find the transition from Moses to Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the country to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean, the sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you the rest, will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command him, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. I think it's impossible to note that the dominant conversation that God is having with Joshua, the leader of Israel, is about fear. And when I think of Joshua, I think of someone who is defined by courage, someone who becomes the personification of being strong and courageous. And yet this wouldn't even be the conversation if Joshua was exactly that. See, in fact, Joshua was defined by fear and doubt, by a sense of weakness and insecurity. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, it opens up by saying, and now Moses was dead. This is Joshua penning these words. See, all that struck Joshua is that the man who he trusted was dead. The man who delivered Israel out of Egypt was dead. The man who held the staff up and the waters parted was dead. The man who spoke and plagues came from heaven was dead. The man who stood face to face against Pharaoh and declared the freedom of the people of Israel was dead. And now Joshua was left with a more difficult task than Moses ever had. Moses led the people through the wilderness, but now Joshua is going to have to lead them to conquer the promised land. And Moses, the servant of God, was dead. The man who was known as the friend of God, the man who was face to face with God and would commune and have conversations with God like no one else in history, the man who would go to the mountain of God and come glowing and with the glory of God, he was dead. I love the way Joshua describes himself. It is telling about who he is. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid. Not much of a resume, is it? Moses' assistant. And this was the defining shift of Joshua's life. I have one question for you today. Who do you have the courage to become? Because this was Joshua's question. This was what Joshua was going to have to grapple with and deal with, because he knew who Moses was, and he knew who he was in relationship with Moses, but he did not know who he was. He had not decided yet who he was. And so God has to speak into Joshua's life and says, be strong and courageous. Didn't I tell you be strong and courageous? Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Only be strong and courageous. How many times does God have to say the same thing to one person? And I wonder if you have the courage to redefine yourself. See, this opening chapter of the story of Joshua begins as the story of Moses' aid and ends as the champion of Israel, the conqueror of the promised land. Last night, I went to get some exercise, and I'd never been to the 24 Hour Fitness in West Hollywood, so I drove out there because it was the only one that was open, because the 24 Hour Fitness close to where I am is not open 24 hours a day. And explain that. And so I went out there, and then I ellipticaled for a while and felt incredibly inadequate because the girl next to me was like blowing me away. She was on her elliptical machine for so long before I got on there, and it was so humiliating when I got off. She goes, are you Irwin from Mosaic? And I said, yeah, I was just warming up. Yeah. Anyway, humility, it's where it all starts, over there. And when I got home last night, around 10:30, 11 o'clock, I realized I had left my phone at the 24 Hour Fitness on the machine, which is what I do. See, because I have this Hansel and Gretel syndrome where I have to leave small pieces of technology everywhere I go so I can find my way back home. And so I drove back out to West Hollywood, found my phone, started driving down Melrose and Sunset and just sort of absorbing the environment. And I realized so many people have lost themselves by being defined by others. And all of a sudden, I just felt overwhelmed inside of my soul. And I thought perhaps the greatest act of courage in our life is to redefine ourselves, to not allow ourselves to be defined by others, to not allow ourselves to be defined by our worst moments, not allow ourselves to be defined by our past, not allow ourselves to be defined by our fears, not allow ourselves to be defined by our doubts, to not be allow ourselves to be defined by the least of us, but to allow ourselves to be redefined by who God is calling us to become. I don't have one ask of you today. Do you have the courage to redefine yourself? Joshua was Moses' aide. And now God was calling him to be the leader of the people of Israel. And here's the crazy thing about it. God had already redefined Joshua. So I want you to understand that I'm going to be with you the same way I was with Moses. No difference. I'm not making you any less. I will be to you as I was to him. You just need to be to them as he was to them. God had already redefined who Joshua was, but Joshua was still living to his definition of the past. He couldn't see himself in a new way yet. And what's interesting, as the chapter works its way through, as he speaks to the half-tribes and says, you need to keep the commitments you made to Moses. They said, no, we're going to keep our commitments to you. We just need to ask you to do one thing. First of all, you need to have the kind of relationship with God that Moses had. And then all we need to see from you is for you to be strong and courageous. I think it's not incidental that the one thing God kept saying to Joshua over and over and over again, have the courage to become who I have called you to be. And those warriors said to Joshua, all we want from you is that courage. We need you to be strong and courageous, and we will follow you because we know that if you are strong and courageous, that will be the proof to us that you have the heart of God. See, when you connect your heart to the heart of God, when we take on the heart of God, we become brave hearts. We begin to have the courage to live the life we were created to live. I started thinking through all the different men and women of the scriptures, and I realized that for every one of them, they had to come to a place where they had the courage to redefine themselves. They had to leave behind who they were and make the choices to become who they could become. They had to embrace a definition of themselves that was rooted in the calling of God in their life. And they had to silence all the other voices that defined them as less. The reason we're so afraid of the monsters in the closets. The reason we're so afraid of the dark is that there are monsters in those closets. There are voices that speak to us in those dark places, and they tell us that we're less. They will tell you that you are your worst moment, that you are your greatest tragedy, that you are your deepest wound. Some of you are defined by your greatest pain. It's who you are. Some of you are defined by your greatest failures. It's who you are. Some of you are defined by your greatest fears and your greatest doubts, and you've allowed those to define you. And so you live in fear, and you only long for freedom. I thought of so many individuals, but I want to just begin with this one in James chapter 2, telling the story of Rahab in verse 25. It says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? See, Joshua is going to have to go in and take the promised land. They came to this great city called Jericho. And they sent spies into the city of Jericho. And it was a prostitute named Rahab who understood that God was actually working in human history, who understood that the people of Israel were fulfilling the mission and purpose of God, that God was acting in history. And this prostitute, in spite of all of her past, in spite of her infamy and her choices that would be destructive and devastating to her and to others, she in the moment decided to redefine who she was. And she joined the mission and intention and purpose of God. She joined the people of God and became a friend of God. And I love how there are four women identified in the lineage of Jesus, and Rahab, the prostitute, is one of the four. Jesus, the Savior of the world, has the blood of a prostitute in his veins. Rahab was given a singular honor that only Mary, the mother of Jesus, and two others would have. Because in a moment, she decided she was not who she was in the past. She was not the sum total of the choices she made yesterday, that she could redefine who she was by the choices she made today. Look to the stories. Esther was a slave in a harem, destined to be a concubine, but she became a queen, and she embraced that redefinition, and she became the voice that set the people of Israel free and saved their lives from a Holocaust. Moses was a murderer, and it took him decades to find that redefinition, but one day he rose up, and instead of being a dismal failure, became a conquering leader. You look through the scriptures and you see them over and over again. Daniel was a slave who became the sage of an empire. Joseph, a cupbearer who became the hand of the king. Peter, a fisherman, who became the leader of a movement that would turn history upside down. Jesus was defined as the son of a carpenter. In fact, when he began to teach and heal and perform signs and wonders, they said, is this not the son of a carpenter from Nazareth? See, the world will choose to define you by the least of you. Jesus redefined himself as the son of a carpenter to who he rightfully was, the Son of God. If nothing else happens this morning, I hope that today you will erase all the definitions of who you are that make you less than who you were created to become. That today you will take the courage to define yourself based on who God says you are. The question really is, who do you have the courage to become? Last week, well, the week before, I was in Florida speaking, and I got to go see my mom. And I've always had this ambivalent relationship with my mom. And in those moments where we have meaningful conversations and she opens up her life and her past, it's just such a gift. And I understand why she doesn't share a lot of her past. For her, there's a lot of pain and strangely, a lot of shame, which is what happens to so many of us. We become defined by our worst moments rather than our best. And she was telling me how she was 19 years old and she already had my brother Alex and she was pregnant with me and she was living in San Salvador, of course. And her husband, who had started drinking again. My dad threw her down a flight of stairs and broke her leg. And she could not go back home. Where she went to the hospital, they told her, if you go back home, he's going to kill you. And she was pregnant with me, so she went and asked her parents, my grandparents, to help her. And there wasn't a lot of compassion and empathy in that world. And because she was pregnant, and they let her stay, and she gave birth to me, and then she started working at a hotel. And she was working there, I think, in the concierge or as a maitre d' or something like that. And here she is, 19 years old, with two boys, with a marriage falling apart. And somehow, an opportunity opened up for her. Someone who worked for Pan Am was staying in that really nice hotel, and they saw my mom, and they asked her if she wanted to work for Pan Am as a stewardess. And back then, you had to have $250, which was like a fortune, to buy your uniforms and to pay. You had to pay to work for Pan Am. And she didn't have $250. It would be like for us putting together $500,000. And she went to her family, and no one would help her. And even though there were some who were very affluent, no one cared enough to help her through her pain and her crisis. And later on in our quest for nobility, I'm going to tell you how my mom came to that $250. I'm not going to tell you today. But what I am going to tell you is I was struck when she was telling the story of how she, after she received that money and her father told her she couldn't go, and if she went, he would never help her. How her family basically disowned her and didn't help her at all. I thought, what courage to leave a small country, to travel to another huge nation and live in Miami and New York and become a stewardess on these new machines called airplanes so she could provide a future for her two boys. And it struck me as she told that story that everything in her world told her she was nothing. Everything in her world told her her life was over. Everything in her world was the elimination of hope and possibility. But because of her courage of traveling into unknown, mysterious places, of crossing an ocean into another land with a different language, because of her, we have the lives and the freedom that we enjoy today. Because she refused to be defined by the worst moments and the worst choices and the worst circumstances of her life and decided to find inside of herself the resolve to have the courage to redefine who she was. I wondered this morning what redefining needs to take place in your life right now. See, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you're redefining yourself. You have to come to a place where you go, God, I'm just tired of living my life being defined outside of you. If you spent your whole life with these nagging voices in your brain telling you you can never accomplish anything, you'll never be more, you can never change. I heard this billionaire one time say, people never change. That's exactly right. Well, it's half right. People never change until they do. I'm telling you, you will never change until you do. You will never change until you decide enough is enough. I'm done being who I was. It's time to become who I can be. And this morning, it is your moment to redefine your life. And when you entrust your life to Jesus Christ, you are redefined. All those other voices that have ever spoken into your life, all other voices in your head, they become obsolete because the voice of God who tells you you are marvelously and wonderfully and gloriously made, you're created with intention and purpose and significance. That's the voice you want defining your life. And it takes courage to live out what God sees about you. And the reason baptism is so significant, it's because it's a moment where you redefine yourself. Some of you, you're like secret Christians. You're pretending you're visiting, checking things out. The Secret Service doesn't even know. And what you don't realize is that you have this private, personal faith, and the reason it has never translated into a redefinition of you is because you've never made the choice to redefine yourself by Jesus. Baptism is a moment where you find the courage to redefine who you are, and you say, I belong to Jesus. My life is defined by him. I will follow him no matter what. I'm all in. And some of you this morning, it's time to redefine yourself and just come clean. You believe. Come clean. You need God. Come clean. Jesus is who you long for. And just be public and say, I am defined by Jesus. Some of you are defined by the worst patterns in your life. You ever wonder how you develop a reputation for being dishonest? It's by being dishonest. And the hardest thing is when you've been defined by the worst of you to now be defined by a new you. And the only way you can change the definition of others of you is by changing the actions of you. So today, choose. If you've been living a dishonest life, today I choose. I choose to be an honest person. Some of you have been defined by your fear. You're a coward. But see, today you can redefine yourself. I am done living by fear. I'm done being a coward. Today I'm going to live a courageous life. I'm going to be strong. Some of you have been defined all your life by your worst choices, your worst moments, your worst self, and it's over today. It's over. Because Jesus gives you the opportunity to find a new definition of you. And like Rahab the prostitute, who became Rahab the friend of God, it all begins with one choice. I'm gonna ask you just to bow your heads with me just for a moment. God, I just pray that in this room, there would be a redefinition of ourselves. God, I just thank you for these men and women who have shown the courage to stand. God, it's so hard. We feel the gravitational pull of our fear. Our fear of embarrassment, of rejection, of what people will think of us, our fear of failure. But right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we just expel all that fear and ask you to breathe courage into their souls. May they have the courage to take each step that moves them closer to you. As they choose you, Jesus, I pray right now, just right now, where you're praying, just say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Right now, just tell them. There's no magic, just tell them. Just say, Jesus, I give myself to you completely. I'm all in. I belong to you. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. It's done.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mosaic Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your soul. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Mosaic. Your sacrifice makes this podcast possible and creates life change all over the world. You can be a part of spreading this message around the world by going to mosaic.org/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.